fails me all my days. I've been held in your days. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. So my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your voice, you have led.
With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Oh, what a great opportunity we have to be in His house this morning. It's great to see you. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. We see some folks who we haven't seen in some time, and it's so great to see you. I'm not going to talk very much this morning. We're going to try our best just to run through some songs. I hope that they're a blessing to you. I know that one was. That was a blessing to my heart. And we're just going to move on this morning. We'll ask the choir if they will stand. And we're going to sing a song we picked up this year. The Lord's been good to us this year. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was weak. The Lord's been good. Amen?
Amen.
Choir, we're going to stand and we're going to sing "What a Meeting in the Air."
Glory land is not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. Wretched lives are oh so sad to see, those who live in misery. But in heaven no more grief or pain, crippled lives are whole again.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say.
I love him.
That's all I want to say.
There's one thing that I have found, and that is for sure, and that is this: I've not always been faithful, but my Redeemer, he is faithful, and he's true. We're going to try and sing a song. We haven't done this in quite some time. I pray that it'll be a blessing. It says, my Redeemer is faithful and true. As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
My
and true.
I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been graceful, but he has. I've not always been true, but he's always come through. He has, yes, he has. I tell him I'm not strong, but he says I am. And I say I can't go on, but he says I can. Well, I've not loved everyone, and I've not always overcome, but he has. Yes, he has.
Oh, and he has. Death, but he has. When I'm tempted to sin and I fail the test again, he passed. Yes, he passed.
Dead on Calvary all alone. Oh, and he has.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say,
even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through, like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good.
This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged cross where tears of sorrow dwell.
Can't you hear Him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well? Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through, like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He is good.
Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through, like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, God is good.
Amen. Are you ready to worship this morning? Say amen. Amen. So good to be here this morning, and I want to thank everybody for joining us in our CBC Homecoming 2024. Thank you, family, friends, former members, and current members for coming today. So very thankful to have you with us. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to worship this morning. Amen. We ain't going to worry about the dreary weather outside. We're not going to worry about work on Monday. We're going to worry about worship on Sunday. And it's so good to be here. And I want to say thank you so very much again for coming this way. I want to thank Brother Dakota Smith. Where did I get that from? I know I've known you for years. Dakota Lee, DLM Ministries, for being here with us this morning. I'm thinking about David Smith, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this morning. I don't even know my name or how old I am. But I just know I'm here. I'm here. So good to be here this morning. Good to have, again, Brother Dakota with us from Grace Baptist Church. And I just want to remind everyone, ushers, you go ahead and come on down. Y'all been standing there for time and eternity. And we're going to receive a love offering for Brother Dakota at the conclusion of the service. So be mindful of that and to help support his ministry that he does. And this isn't his first time being here. He's been here before. And so we just want to welcome him back. And he's going to do some singing for us here in just a quick moment. But also I wanted to thank, I can't really put eyes on him, but Adam Hooper was here in the music. Just to, okay, he's serving two churches this morning. We had a friend come by and help us out with the music this morning on the guitar. And Adam Hooper, that's Becky Hooper and Billy Hooper's son. Miss Becky played the piano here Sunday night. And, of course, they'll be back again next Sunday night, I'm sure, to help us out. So that's who that was. I want to thank him for coming. And then Pastor Emeritus, Brother Snyder Turner, so thankful that you're here this morning. Let's give him a round of applause for the faithful service through the years here at Calvary Baptist Church. And if Miss Marcia was here, I'd say Pastor Emeritus, First Lady Miss Marcia. Also thankful for her supporting her husband through the number of years that he'd been, that he was here. Us men can't do it without our wives. We cannot do it. And so thank you so very much. And I'm thinking about Miss Lucille as well, Pastor Emeritus, First Lady Miss Lucille. And still working for the children's home and still doing good. Appreciate her. But we're just so thankful for the foundation that's been laid here at this church through the number of years that it's been in existence. We are a church moving forward. I like to call us an emerging church. We are revitalizing a lot of things. We have a strong outreach ministry. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and join us and be with us here. We got classes on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night for all age groups. Of course, worship services as well on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Just want to say this, no PM service tonight. And so go home and spend a good time with your family like we normally do when we have homecoming. We just have the Sunday morning service. We got some good food after the service, so please join us downstairs if you would. And again, it's so good to have Brother Allen with us. I think he slipped out, but Brother Allen just had surgery. This Wednesday will be 2 weeks ago, and he was here to lead his choir. And so, although he's not here, let's give him a round of applause for faithful service. He did leave a card, and he wanted me to read it. And it says, thanking him for you. It says, words could never express how thankful we are for all that you have done. Friends, family like you make times like these so much easier. Love you all so much, Alan and Terry. Well, right back at you, brother. We love you and Miss Terry. All right. Well, let's pray, and we'll receive the Sunday morning offering. And then Brother Dakota can come up, and you give him a warm welcome when it's his time to come up. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you today. God, help us to just watch and pray for 1 hour. As you told your closest few in the Garden of Gethsemane, what could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? And Father, we know that you have something you want to share with us through your messenger. And so God, I pray we'll be attentive to the Word of God. I pray we'll be attentive, Lord, even as we continue with the music. I pray that you bless Brother Dakota as he comes. Use him with his gifts and talents. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know you personally as their Lord and Savior, today will be the day of salvation for them, that you would convict them and prick their hearts. They would accept you as Jesus and the Lord and Savior of their life. And for all of us, Lord, others that are here, I pray that you would be an encouragement, God, that you would encourage our spirits, refresh our hearts, so that we can go out and serve you. Bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church and in foreign fields. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dakota Lee, DLM Ministry.
Are you tired? Jesus, we should reach home someday. sing it, because this song comes straight out of the Bible in Psalms 23. Amen.
Love story ever told was 2,000 years ago when Jesus came
died on the old rugged cross. Morris says that he didn't have to bear, but he chose to. He said he lost it like me. If you don't know him today, the best decision you will ever make in your life is to get to know him today. I always tell people, I would hate to really, honestly, be under Holy Ghost conviction and walk out a door and get into a car. I would hate that. I've known people that, as far as my knowledge, have never accepted Christ and died. Now, the only person that I know that is saved is me. That's something you got to go into your heart and see. Am I truly saved? Because wouldn't that be a great thing at Calvary's homecoming of 2024 that you came down an altar and you got right with God? And then you get baptized, you get into a counseling or some type of discipleship to get you further along down the road. And even if you're not doing that stuff and you are saved, if you've never been baptized, get baptized. If you've never been down a counseling session or some type of discipleship, get into that too. Because you learn more, you learn more. You're always constantly learning. Because if you think you got this whole life thing figured out, let me go ahead and tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. If anybody's ever been in ministry long enough, they'll tell you, you're wrong. I've been in ministry all my life. All my life. I grew up in ministry. My granddad was a pastor at Grace for 28 years. I grew up in it. And I still don't have it figured out. And the day that I do have it figured out is the day that I'm probably in the ground somewhere. Because I don't have all this stuff figured out. I'll never have it all figured out. And if you ever have a pastor tell you that he's got it all figured out, run the other way. I'll tell you, he's lying. There's people that's been in ministry a long time, like Brother Justin, Brother Turner, and all these other great men of God that have been in ministry a long time, but they don't have it all figured out. There's sometimes when people come to me and they're asking me for advice, I'm like, I have no idea. Or they're asking me Bible questions. I have no idea. When I was teaching Bible last year at Grace, I had several students come up to me and go, what does this mean? What does this mean? I'm like, I don't know. Let me study and I'll let you know an answer. But until then, I don't know. That's the answer. But about a month and a half ago, I had some really good friends of mine that were headed to Alaska to go on a cruise ship to sing gospel music. Flew from here in Carrollton, flew out of Carrollton, stopped in Nevada, I think it was, to get fuel. And was flying to Alaska for the last length and never made it. Plane crashed and killed every single body in there except for their one daughter that flew commercial. That was it. Why she flew commercial, I have no idea. But she did. I'm glad she did, but she did. They never made it. They never made it. And you said, why am I telling you all this? The reason why. One is you better know that you know that you know that you know that you are saved and that you are going to heaven. Number two is this. The grudge that you're holding against your parents, or the grudge that you're holding against your kids, or the grudge that you're holding against somebody else, stop. Stop. Bible says that me paraphrasing because I'm terrible at remembering scripture, but paraphrasing in me is if someone hits you on your left, you know what you're supposed to do? Come right here. Stop the grudge stuff. Because you don't know when the last time you're going to see somebody is. You don't know when you're going to wake up one day and your whole family's gone. You don't know. Stop holding the grudges. Let it go. My mind just went ADD, and I thought it froze when I said let it go. But just let it go. Let it go, and let God have control of your life. Let God have control of your family. There's a song that's newer. I'm going to pull my phone out because I'm going to forget these lyrics if I don't. But there's a song by, I don't know who sings it. I think it's Charity Gale. I Speak Jesus. And parents, if you think that your kids don't know Jesus, how about you ask them? If you think that your coworkers don't know Jesus, how about you ask them? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. If you work a secular job, who cares if you get fired? Guess what? God can provide another one. The only job I've ever got fired from, and I'll shut up and I'll sing, I promise. The only job that I ever got fired from, I worked at a hardware store. believe that or not, I did. I worked at Ace Hardware for a month, and I got fired for reasons that I still to this day do not know. And when the manager sat me down and told me that I was fired, this is what he said. He said, I'm not a Christian. He said, I don't believe in God. He said, I don't believe any of that stuff. He said, I know you do. And he said, but you're not supposed to be here. And he was like, so maybe it is a good thing you're getting fired. And I was like, well, what do you mean I'm not supposed to be here? He said, I don't know. He said, you're not supposed to be working on Harvest. He said, you're supposed to be doing something more than working on Harvest. That took me a while, because I went from work to no work for like 4 months. And I was like, God, I got bills. I got car payments. Like, I need something. He was like, just calm down. Just chill out. Calm down. And that's when the door opened for me to travel. And I traveled for 2.5 years full time. I came here with the group that I sang with for y'all's Jubilee 1 year. Hover your family over Jesus. Get your family. Build the foundation of your family on Jesus. I tell people in relationships, build your relationship on Jesus. Because if you're not, you think it's going to work? Just go around. Speak Jesus. Don't be afraid of it. If they get mad, who cares? Speak Jesus. Go out shouting like you're a bunch of crazy people. Because there's more crazy people and they're speaking something else. So we can go out and speak Jesus. Amen.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power.
Jesus, for my family, I
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. Now I speak Jesus. Do two more, and then I'll sit down and shut up and let the man of God come and preach. The next song that I'm about to sing was written by a good friend of mine that lives down in Florida, Panama, which I'm jealous because I love Panama. But he lives in Panama, Florida, and it was during COVID when he wrote this song. And when I was doing my first ever album I ever did, I was looking for songs. He sent me this song, and he said, call me. He sent me his phone number, so I called him. And he said, I want to give you the backstory of that song. And I love those kind of stories when songwriters tell me what the backstory of that song is. I said, yeah, man, I want to hear it. He said it was COVID. He said about April of COVID time, 2020. He said, I was depressed. He said, I didn't know what I was going to do. He said, the only thing I could do and think of was this world would be a whole lot better without me in it. And he said, so I went to the piano to write. He said, I went to the piano to play one last time. And I said, well, what do you mean one last time? He said, because I was going to play the piano. He said, I was going to take some pills, and I was going to go to sleep. He said, now it's going to be the end of me. He said, so I sat down at the piano, and I started playing the piano. He said, this song just started coming up as I was playing. He said, so I wrote it down. He said, I've never recorded it. He said, I never did anything with it. And I recorded my album in 2022. So it sat for almost 2 years without anybody else hearing it but him. He said, I learned sitting there playing the piano that if everybody turned their back on me, he said, even if no one loved me or no one cared about me, he said, the only thing that I needed was God. He said, God was everything to me. And he said, that's all I needed. And so he sent me the song. I recorded it. And it's probably one of my favorite songs to sing. And everywhere I go, people ask me if I can sing this song. So I'm going to sing it for you. But I want you to think of the words as I sing it. Oh, God of all creator. So I will lift my voice and sing, you are everything to me. You broke the curse of sin, the one sailed over my life. You broke addiction's chains and told
very much, and we appreciate the songs that you chose this morning. This is homecoming, and so I pray that you've taken the breaks off and allowed yourself to just sink in to the hour of worship that we've had. Now comes time for the Word of God, and I just want to switch gears a little bit and give the space for Brother Snyder to come around and bring God's Word. Let's give a warm welcome to returning pastor, Pastor Emeritus Snyder Turner. Come on around, brother.
I will assure you one thing, though, you won't need that, but I think it sounds like I am. At any rate, we're good. I miss Charlie Wilson today. I miss old Charlie. Very faithful to the church, but the main reason I miss him is if they turned the singing over before I got through with my cough drop, I'd always hand it to him. He's not here. Good to see everybody here. I walked in. Alan Clayton is standing right out there. That's just wrong. I was going down here. I had my back surgery, 6-7 months ago, and I told him I'm going to go down and get a little sympathy to church. Y'all been so kind to me. And I walk in, and Alan had a heart transplant, lung transplant, had his liver removed and everything else, and he's standing out there in the hall and had it. That was yesterday. So anyway, I do appreciate him being here. Alan is a faithful, faithful servant of the Lord and this church. Hey, turn with me very quickly to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. I want to share something with you. Candidly, this week I went to, it has been an interesting week for me and some time before, actually, dealing with a lot of people and their struggles. It's just been strange. A lot of you, well, not a lot of you, but some of you probably remember. A lot of you probably remember Tiny Shouse. Y'all remember Tiny? Just the very name tells you about Tiny. Yeah, that's what you need to know right there. Anyway, his son passed away yesterday, and so talking with Nancy and trying to be of a little bit of a help to them. And then, of course, Brother Arnold McCrickard went to be with the Lord this week, dealing with two families, struggles, a family with four kids. And it's just been an interesting week. And so this that I want to share with you has been on my heart especially. And it has been a couple of weeks in advance, I suppose. And all of the time that I study, all the time that I try to prepare, the only thing I kept thinking about is this just doesn't seem to fit a homecoming. Just doesn't. And it's just this simple question. Disciples asked the Lord one day, do you even care? You even care? In the book of Mark, chapter number 4, I want you to join me in the word. Now listen, I know we've got food downstairs. I know the danger for a preacher to get between you and that. So I'm going to try. All right, I'm going to talk quickly. I want you to listen quickly. I just don't want you to get through before I do. You know, so stay with me here for just a minute or two. Normally I would mention some folks that I see here, but let me just get in the Word of God. That's where I need to be. Every song this morning has been just exactly that God cares about you. Every one. Now, if you've ever had the privilege or the opportunity or the responsibility to stand and speak, you always, during the song service, you always look for some sort of affirmation for what you have on your heart to say. And started the first part in the choir. But anyway, I'm so grateful. All right, listen to me. I want you to Acts chapter number 4. I'm sorry, Mark chapter number 4. If I said Acts, just write me and let me know what that says. In Mark chapter number 4 and in verse 35. Now, what Jesus has been doing, he's talking about planting seed, right? Yes. He's talking about the seeds. And he talks about the seed, and then he speaks of the results of the seeds planting and falling. And in that whole process, you're reading about this seed falling here. It falls on hard ground. This one over here falls among the rocks. This one over here falls, but it's shallow. It lays there shallow, and it doesn't ever take roots. And then he says, one over here, the seed falls, and it's good. I spoke to a psychologist that was working with us at the children's home, and I said, I want you to tell me the truth. People can be exposed to all kinds of things. They can talk about all kinds of things. But those who are actually touched on a level deeper than religion, right, and they get down to what generates and fosters that relationship, when they live shallow Christianity, and you know who's in the greatest danger for that? Christians.
Yes.
Because we have a head knowledge,
right,
that gives us some sort of an affirmation. 8-track alone. I'm just adding every one of them. But the whole issue is that we hear these things. We grew up in those things. Right. We've been exposed to them constantly. But when pressures come into our life, we will say, no matter how long we've been in church, no matter how righteous and spiritual our family is, no matter what we've done in church, you can have more Sunday school pins than Patton had on his chest, and still, when a storm comes into our lives, we won't say it loud because we're too churchy. But here's what we wonder. God, you even care.
Right, brother.
Come on. You even care. Look at what I'm going through.
It's true.
Look at what's happening to me right now. Yes. And you, after all you've heard, after all you've experienced,
be careful about that word.
But after all you have experienced, a storm comes. And immediately, we start looking to ourselves, to a friend, to a pastor, to a podcast.
Right.
Well, look, see, Taylor Swift got a song addressing this. And somebody comes up and they say, well, you know, God's in charge.
Well, boy, I'm glad you said that.
You know, all things work together for good. Is there a verse in the scriptures that makes you madder to hear than that one? When you go through a storm,
right?
That verse is for other people. Don't be saying that verse for me. That's what I've dealt with all last week.
Lady going through,
and I'm telling you, she's got it's in storms. It is indeed storms. And she says, I still believe God cares. I don't think. Well, what would God need to do for you to believe He cared? I mean, what would God need to do for you to care? I mean, if His word doesn't matter, what do you need to see happening in your life? And I'm not fussing. I'm just saying, sooner or later, you will have to come face to face with whether or not you believe what you've been taught your whole life.
Amen.
You have to.
That's right.
Because, hear this, what you believe about God will determine 100% all the time.
Do it every time. It'll never not work. It'll never not be true.
Because if you don't trust somebody, you are not going to let them handle stuff in your life that's important. What do you believe about God and the storm? So here we are.
Look, so Jesus has been teaching, and here's what he says, starting in verse number 35. And the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, I love this, even as he was. Now, they meant without giving him any more preparations. That's like somebody walking up to you and saying, hey, come on, go to the store with me. You go, no, I can't go. Yeah, come on, just like you are, you're fine. But if you'll allow me a little spiritual gymnastics, a part of that for me is they took him as he was. They didn't try to make him fit in their mold.
Yes, that's it.
Take him as he is. Take it. Look, but look, let me show you. Let me get this. I got to go. Got to eat. I got my priorities right. We'll work God in. We got to eat. Here we go. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship, and there were with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Where did it beat? In two. A boat in the water is not a problem. Water in the boat is an issue. Now it says the storm is into the water, into the ship, and it was full. Now he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, look, master, carest not that we perish? He doesn't even answer them. None less than Jesus said, my God. This thorn in the flesh, I believe I can serve you better,
right?
And I've prayed about this thing several times, Lord, you may have noticed. You know what the answer was? He didn't hear, listen, you've been working hard, man. You're faithful. I can't believe all you do for me. In fact, I'm going to take all your manuscripts and I'm going to put them in a book.
Say that.
You know what he said? My grace within you is sufficient for what's going on around you.
Yes, sir.
Get it? This is yes. No. And he says, but look, do you care? He didn't even answer them. He gets up. He walks up on the bow of the ship. The winds are snapping and popping his robe as he stands there. And he says, because, and this is where our president got it, he said, don't! Not exactly. He didn't really say that. He said what the head of our FBI did. He said, knock it off! But he was closer. He rebukes the wind and he speaks to the sea. And then he turns around and he walks up. Listen. And he arose and he rebuked the wind, no answer to them, and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. If you want to, just as a reminder, you can circle great calm, and you can draw your line back up to great storm, and you can see whatever you're going through, he's sufficient to meet it. Isn't that what he told Paul? You get a great storm, I got a great calm for you. But look, and he said unto them, now I don't know how Jesus talked in red words, but here it is. Listen, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? First verse of chapter 5 says, and they came over unto the other side. What did he say to them in verse 35 of chapter 4? Let's go over to the other side. What he said they were going to do, they did.
Amen.
I don't have any trouble. Seriously, I have no.
You never say tell you the truth, but I guess you'd wonder what you've been saying.
I don't have trouble one with my salvation back here. I don't. I don't know that I've ever doubted. I don't have any trouble going to heaven. I don't. He said, I go for believe this and you trust this. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't have trouble with that. Getting in and going there. Do not bother me. What causes me problems, Jim, is this mess here in the middle.
Amen.
Until I get there.
Yes, sir.
Until we get there, what do we do? What do we do? But look, here we are. These guys are facing this storm. Let me give you this very quickly. I don't have time to deal with it much. Let me give you, throughout the day, I'll write this down. I'm going to give you these five quick things.
Purpose of storms in our life. Number one,
very simple. This is not only spiritually true, it's also physically, socially. Number one, it's because God wants to remove something from our life. He'll come because he is targeting something in your life. He doesn't send storms into our lives because he has nothing else to do. What does he say to them at the end of this? How is it that you have no He's coming to get something out of your life. And let me tell you, so, well, what is it? You want to tell you what it is? It's that thing that comes to your mind first when you go through a storm. Something will come. It might be a struggle. It might be a person. It could be a relationship. It could be anything. It'll come to your mind. You go like, no. And we'll try to move around that. Not only does he want to remove something, secondly, he wants to add something into your life. He wants to build some character trait into our life. Thirdly, he wants to change something. He wants to change what you believe. He may want to be changing how you act. These things come for a reason. Fourth thing is, he wants to teach us something. What did they say? What manner of man is this? He wants to teach us something. He wants us to learn. You never go through a storm for no reason. None of us do. Now look, and the fifth thing is to prepare us for something greater. Jesus comes to turn our attention to him.
Amen.
You got me?
Amen.
Storms come to get your attention. When do you think about it? When do you ever say, I need to be reading my Bible more? It's when you've got heat on you, pressure. I need to be praying more. Power, God's presence, and God's purpose. You with me? God's power, his presence, and his purpose is the same for every single person that's ever been born again. But his plan, his path, and the process to get you there is as different as it is the people experiencing it.
Amen.
He worked, his purpose is for us to bring him glory. His plan is that we might walk and put our faith in him. But the path that he chooses to take you down, you don't understand. within us which needs to address those issues that we're facing. You say, well, why did he choose this? I don't know. But listen, both trust and fear. You with me?
Yes.
Two emotions. Both trust and fear acknowledge the power of someone or something to affect your sense of well-being or your future. If you trust God on any kind of a meaningful level, that's going to affect your ability going forward to trust. You can call, or you can fear. Both of them do exactly the same thing. What is different is the focus of that emotion. Trust is an emotion. Fear is an emotion. So what are you going to do? Where are you directing that? It is the directing of that sense, that emotion that says, if I'm fearful, I am fearful because I believe whatever that is or whoever they are have the ability to affect my life and my sense of peace.
Right.
On the other hand, if I have faith in going through these things, then that has the ability, just as well, that has the ability to affect my sense of well-being and my future. It's just where is your attention being focused? On what you fear or him.
Amen.
He said, you believe. 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 Believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe. Listen. Believing is not an emotion. Believing has nothing to do at all with how you feel. It's about how you think. Believing is an act of your will. Believing is an act of your will. Believing is an act of what?
Your will.
Your will. You make up your, you hear something and you make a decision to act on that. If somebody says, if you work a week, I'll pay you for a week. You don't say, well, I didn't feel a thing when he said that. You don't have to feel anything. Work. And you're not even going to work unless you do what? Unless you believe he's going to pay you. It's got nothing to do with how you feel.
Amen.
Now, are there feelings in salvation? Yes, most assuredly there are. But that's not what you build on. Because if you build your walk with God on how good you feel about your faith, you talk about a roller coaster, you're going to make Six Flags look like the Desert Flats.
That's right.
You talk about riding a roller coaster, everything, everybody will then be able to control you in your walk. Why? Because they can change your emotions just like that.
That's good, brother.
You can praise God, love God, jump over these pews, do anything you want to do. And then you go, oh, God's so good. I love God. I don't know what I'm doing. And then you get up there in your car, you pull out, somebody cuts you off. Even a church member here can cut you off and that pretty red face. Why? Because that's fear. When you ask somebody to do something and they don't want to do it, what do they tell you? Tell what they say. I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. Tell me what you think. Because Proverbs says this, as a man, woman, boy, girl, point is that when he's saying to them, look, how is it that you have no faith? And it's not that they have the absence of any kind of a regard or an affirmation of the ability of God in which we place some level of hope. What he was saying was, how is it that you can talk about me, you can go serve me, we can go do stuff out here in the community, but when a real storm comes, and he's not talking about a storm. The context of that is, this thing said what? It filled his boat up. It didn't just wave splash over in it. When that went, I don't know how this necessarily happened, but up there where I live on the old folks' farm, and up there, the street kind of turns as you come in front of our house. I live in a stinking wind tunnel. I will tell you, I've never seen the beat in my life. These last 3 or 4 days, it takes the cushions on our front porch and blows them in the street. Now, I don't care about that. I don't like the cushions anyway. But Marcia cares. She cares greatly. It blows through, and I mean that thing is unbelievable. As a matter of fact, this week, it blew over a tree in our courtyard. That wasn't a big thing. It's about maybe like this, but it wasn't free. And the wind came through and blew it right over. I got a Friday morning. Marcia and my pagan sisters took my mother up to Dillsboro, North Carolina, to go visiting her old home. Mother's so smart, much smarter than we are. She says, I just want to go up there because this might be my last time.
Well, she's 96. She may have been born.
But she said, I just want to go one more time. I said, Mother, you've been saying that for 45 years. But she's gone. I got up, went and got my coffee, and I turned around. And now Marcia can see anything, and she can spot a thread in the middle of the carpet right back there. She can. I've never seen anything like it in my life. She can spot it from a half a mile. I walked by and I stood there and I thought, something's different out there. I stood there and I was drinking my coffee and I thought, God, something's wrong. I don't know what the difference is. I'm going to work to sort this out later. And then I looked over here and I noticed this tree is laying. So, Dion, I did what any man of the house would do. I called David Henderson.
Amen.
Henderson! So, now, they got it. But here's my point. It wasn't the greatest looking tree in the world. It had a few little weak places on it. The limbs didn't go like, yeah, thing didn't look like it's healthy necessarily. The tree fell over. And I went over to Brother Justin and I looked at it. And the entire center of the tree was gone. All of it. I mean, it was this. There was nothing here. Nothing. Nothing. Matthew 7 does something like that. When it says these two guys built houses, one of them had built it on what? The rock. The other one had built on what? So then the storms come. If you read Matthew 7, verse 25, right along in there,
again,
it's not there, it's a good place for it, but it says, verse 26 and verse 28, 27, 29 or something, says this, talking about the houses, when it speaks of the storm,
go like, seriously? How long? How long? Jeff, had that thing been hollow? Well, obviously a while. The outside looked pretty good. We had, yeah, there was a couple of limbs that go like, yeah, it's not getting good water. The way to solve this, we're kind of getting off. People can come in church and they look just fine. Well, for a while. And then something happens. Some struggle, some challenge, some persecution. I'm talking about deep Christian persecution, like somebody didn't speak to you. I told you before, when you woke up to people in church, you say, how are you? Some of them think you mean that. And they'll tell you every ailment they've got or ever had. They'll carry a journal. So what? I wasn't going to identify you. But the other people... Others, here's how you get this picture short. Some people you walk up and you say, how are you? Other people you walk up and say, good to see you. You say, good to see you. Don't ask how they do because they believe you. Where are you at? Now, I understand that when we go downstairs, every blessed one of you are going to walk up to me and say, good to see you. I get it.
Let me just—I have to quit. Look, I don't even have time to get started here. Let me read you a verse here in Job. I moved it. Hold on. Job 23. And in verse 8, talking his people, the ones talking to him now, you know, his good friends that he had, and he says this, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. I look backwards. I try to go back where I was. He's not there. He says, I look backward, but I don't see him. I can't perceive him. Verse 9 says, on the left hand where he's working, but I can't even behold him. I see some things going on over there. I just can't see him in it. I see stuff. Looks churchy. I just can't see it. And then he says, and on the right hand, he said, he hides himself from me. He said, I can't see him. With all this going on, I'm trying to move forward through all of this. The Bible says, press on. We sang about keeping on. Keep on. Don't fear. Stay strong. Keep on. It's good advice. But Job said, I'm trying now. I'm trying to walk. See, I look back. Well, here's where I was. Maybe if I just go back to what he used to be. I look over here and I see some good things going on. I can't. I just don't see him. It's not related to me. I'm not connecting with it. He says, over here on the right hand side, Lord have mercy, I don't see him anywhere over there.
But listen to what he says in verse 10. In spite of what I'm able to see or not see, despite whether I have the capacity to understand it or I don't. He said, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what to tell them.
times I questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, then my frustration gets so out of hand. Then instead I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand long test alone. That's when I look at all of these victories, and the spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and that it would not be hard to climb. He never offered how victories without fighting, but he said it would always come in time. Just remember where you're standing in the valley of decision, in the adversary says give in. Oh, just hold on. I'll hold Yeshua, and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, he will seal the flames again, again. Oh, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and that you would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said he'll put always come in time. Just remember where you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in. Oh, just hold on. I'll hold sure, and he will take you through the fire again.
Can I get a couple of ushers right quick before we conclude service this morning? And we're going to receive a love offering from Bud Dakota.
Good message.
And as they get ready to come, I pray that you would be mindful and prayerful of what you would like to give. I guess so, brother. Same for your own love offering?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Yeah. All right. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bless the offering and bless the food. You glad you came this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming so very much. And again, if you do not have a church home, we'd love to have you come by Calvary and visit with us. And we've got Sunday school Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Sunday morning worship at 11, 5 p.m. in the evening, and on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Got a class for all ages and adult service upstairs. Thank you so very much for coming. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. So much to be said today. I don't even know where to start. I just know I felt it. And so I'm thank you for that. Thank you for Brother Snyder, Lord, and coming to preach your word, Lord. And I pray God will just take it to heart and bring it home with us. And thank you for Brother Dakota and his ministry. I pray that you bless him. Bless our church. Help us, Lord, bless the community by telling people about Jesus. Bless this offering. Bless the food. Let everything be done and said according to your will. But do bless the offering, Lord, and do bless the food to be the nourishment for our bodies and our bodies to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have come together, our hearts as one accord. One faith, one baptism, one Spirit and one Lord. The things of earth behind me are put them all on hold. We're going to have a good time today in the house of the Lord. We're going to have a good time today in the house of the Lord. We're going to have a good time today in the house of the Lord. I'm going to rejoice, lift my voice. It's my joy to make a little noise. We're going to have a good time. Embarrassed to praise the Lord's name, but while you sit there silently, here's what I've got to say. I'm not ashamed to say I've come to shout for joy. We're gonna have a good time today in the house of the Lord. We're gonna have a good time today in the house of the Lord. We're gonna have a good time today in the house of the Lord. I'm gonna rejoice. Lift my voice, it's my choice. Make a little noise. We're gonna have a good time today in the house of the Lord. Lift my voice, it's my choice. Make a good times in the house of the Lord.
God bless you. Stay and eat with us if you can. Thank you for coming.